This is Discipleship Dissected on Coach and Joe.
Welcome to Coach and Joe. My name is Chad Norris, host of the Coach and Joe podcast. I'm stirred up this morning. We're going to have a conversation with Anwin Stone about the attractional model of the church, how to lead a church out of an attractional model into a missional model, more biblical model. We're going to jump into all that. Before we do, Anwin, you and your husband Andy led your first church. What year would that have been?
We started full-time ministry in 2003.
Okay.
So, that's nearly 20 years ago.
And both of you moved here to work at the Garden Greenville, which used to be called Bridgeway Church. That would have been 3 years ago?
Yeah, 2018.
In 2018, you and I, our spouses, were already in probably a five-year conversation because Wendy led so many Shema's with you online for a while, and I got to know Andy for a few years before you moved here.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of those conversations in those discipling conversations in the early days, maybe not all, but many were about, okay, God's calling us to lead a local church here out of an attractional model. Before we jump into this hotly debated topic, this conversation really triggers a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I get it, because the American church really, gosh, for 50 years, has been such an attractional model. Before we jump into how to transition a church out of an attractional model, let's start here. What is, when I say an attractional model, what is it and what is it not? And the reason I'm asking you this, Anwin, is a lot of people say, Chad, are you a deconstructionist of the church? No, absolutely not. I believe in the ecclesia, big time. And I believe that we should be getting all of our paradigms for marketplace, church leadership, parenting, from the word itself. Mm-hmm. When I look at the word, it does not match the model of the church that I grew up under.
Yeah.
I believe George Barna wrote a book, early 2000s, called Revolution. He opens the book with this statement: there is no biblical precedent for the way in which we do church. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this podcast, you love the Lord Jesus, you want what he wants for your life, I'm just simply saying that this is not like a two-year conversation. I'm now 20 years in to really seeking God on the proper methodology of his church. So what is the attractional model of the church?
I think the attractional model is a model in which you have a small number of paid people who are seen as the priests, and those people deliver content and experiences that the church come and are partakers of or even entertained by. And I think what happens is you have really what you create is a church in which the majority of the body are passive participants rather than the priesthood of all believers. And those people pay a tithe in the body, and usually what they see, what happens in that culture is you create a system in which people are paying an amount of money to pay a person to be a priest. So really it's when we look at it and we do actually deconstruct that model, it's very much how the Catholic Church operates. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think people would be really offended in the evangelical charismatic world to be compared to the Catholic Church. But actually, when you look at the model and you look at what it's producing, it is the same. And I think it has a success criteria that's very different to Jesus's. So I think the success criteria of the attractional model is bums on seats and money in the bank.
What I hear you saying is the attractional model's measuring stick is who is coming to receive from the great man or woman of God, and how much money is being given to that system.
Yes.
Which I am not even saying that that's evil. It's just not biblical.
Yeah.
So let's take a journey back in time. You and Andy are, and your three kiddos, and your dog, Poppy. You have a British dog and an American dog.
We do, yeah.
Your American dog is the most redneck dog I've ever met. It is.
He is crazy.
His name is Fred.
Yes.
Freddie. And he's a redneck. And you have a proper, dare I say, arrogant British female dog named Poppy.
Yes.
Growing up across the pond, when's the first memory you have of who St. Patrick was? Do you remember?
St. Patrick, he was the guy that brought the gospel from Northern Ireland over to England.
All right, so watch this. Give or take, just for the sake of time, about the time when St. Patrick ended his journey is when you see, around that time, is when you see the model of the church, You know, the word ecclesia is not even mentioned that much in the New Testament. The model of the church so drastically changed from what was for 300 years. The Lord ascends, and for the next 300 years-ish, give or take, the model of the church was so different than the model since then.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are about 1,700 years into a model that does not match the model of the ministry of Jesus, the passion of Jesus, the method of Jesus, what happened? What was the transition to get us into a model that God is now reforming?
Well, historically, what we know is that there was a guy, a Roman emperor, whose name was Constantine.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 313, I think. And he claims to have become a Christian. People don't know whether he was or wasn't. But at that point, what happened was the state and the church started to merge and become one thing. So prior to that...
Seems great, right?
It seems great. And a lot of people were rejoicing because there was so much persecution at that point towards Christians that Christians actually felt it might be an answer to prayer, you know, that this had happened. But when you look over history and you look over the sort of 100-200 years after that and what happened, what was created was large buildings instead of small home churches.
Mm-hmm.
The home church was actually became illegal.
Mm-hmm.
People were encouraged very strongly, let's say actually they were mandated,
mm-hmm.
to attend these large buildings, these basilicas, in which there were bishops who were paid by the state, and there was money and politics all involved at this point. And obviously, I mean, I'm not going into the deep detail history.
Sure.
You could go read about that. But what happened to the church was it changed from this family-orientated oikos,
mm-hmm.
where you have a whole household, including extended family, businesses, marketplace, all running out of one place in which worship is happening together. They have this strong missional impulse within mm-hmm. them because the gospel is so real and so relevant. It really, truly is the priesthood of all believers.
Mm-hmm.
You shift from that towards large buildings, ordained people. The word is no longer being spoken out orally and people listening to it together. It's in the hands of the ordained priest.
Mm-hmm.
And you've created a culture in which you get a sort of nominal faith and people not understanding the gospel, not living out of the gospel. And it's like the power of it, the missional power of it is completely removed
mm-hmm.
from the people.
Do you know that even when, because I preach against the celebrity spirit all the time, a lot of people are like, what are you talking about? Do you know that the celebrity spirit and in Constantine model can even exist in a church of 80 people?
Oh, totally.
Here's how I see it. I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Basically, on a simplistic level, an attractional model or a celebrity spirit model, people orbit around a personality or the gifts on one or two people.
Yeah.
In a missional model,
mm-hmm.
the leadership empowers, trains, equips others.
Yes.
To even when you say works of the ministry, it sounds so segregated from the way I see in the Gospels. Forget the works of the ministry. You empower a saint to be a dad, to be a husband, to be a mom, to multiply their spiritual capital into other people wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I believe that we are so ripe for a reformation, which I know that we're in, what better time in human history in the last 500 years since Luther and Calvin and all those than a two-year-old worldwide pandemic that is driving people away from church building structures anyway?
Yes. Yeah.
Giving has gone way down
mm-hmm.
in church models. The celebrity pastor doesn't really have a lot of red carpet Hollywood paparazzi around him anymore.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is we are in a defining fault line earthquake. You don't even have to be a prophet to see what's going on.
Yeah.
God is shaking his temple.
He is
reforming the model of church. I recently wrote a book called God is Shaking His Temple. I have a funny story. I haven't told you this. So Wendy and I have had a prophetic conversation with an elderly couple in St. Simons Island, Georgia. And it's crazy. I just started talking on the streets. Next thing I know, Wendy goes, yeah, my husband just wrote a book. And in my mind, I thought, this ought to be interesting. And the retired husband said, oh, well, what's the title of your book? And when I told them the title of the book, they both were like, oh my God. I mean, it's kind of intense.
Yes.
God is shaking his temple. The fear of the Lord is returning to the church.
Yeah.
You should have seen this wife. She was like, what in the world is that book about? It kind of scared her. Well, here's what it's about. I love theology. I love ideology, but I also love methodology.
Yeah.
When the Lord was here, what did he do? Not what did he preach? What did he do? What did his life look like? Well, if you study what his life looked like, his methodology was very different from the methodology of the church.
Yeah.
I can sneak in the back door, maybe even get on a few podcasts, listen to that famous preacher. No one ever know me. Me never make any disciples. Mm. God, we are in a methodological reformation. What do you see the church becoming as I say that? What is this methodological reformation?
It's a transition away from the celebrity one man, one woman ministry and into, I keep saying this, but it's the priesthood of all believers.
What do you mean when you say that?
I mean that every single one of us has been given through the blood of Jesus the ability to be a priest. And that means a priest in your home, a priest in your workplace, a priest running your business. Mm. I think people are actually fed up with the old model. And in the same way that the printing press changed everything for the Reformation, because, you know, things happen in history together. God ordains times and seasons, and you have Luther and all those conversations going on. But at the same time, the printing press is created. And what happened was the Bible got into the hands of people. Yeah, and I feel like, honestly, the Father has not sent this pandemic, but he's using it mm-hmm. for people to be asking questions about, mm-hmm. does this way really work? And I think people are realizing it doesn't, because what's happened is it's exposed a nominal faith in America. Yeah. It's exposed a Christendom of like culture mm-hmm. that I think I'm a Christian, but actually I don't follow Jesus in my everyday life. I'm not being a priest in my workplace. I'm not praying for mm-hmm. the lost who don't know him. I'm not reaching out with the gospel. And I think I see the Father wanting to shift the church mm-hmm. towards people really, truly living out of what Jesus said, follow me.
I was in Indianapolis two days ago, there was a game. I took my son to see the national championship football game. And we were sitting in a restaurant, a sports bar restaurant, huge mm-hmm. in downtown Indianapolis. And I just felt led by the Spirit of God to say, how long has this building been here and what was this? And when it used to be a whorehouse.
Wow.
In the 1800s. And so I look on the menu and I'm reading all about this and the Holy Spirit begins to talk to me. If you look at the celebrity spirit model, the attractional model, what if heaven sees that model as disgusting?
Yeah.
What if it reminds the Father of Balaam? This is a very serious conversation, because what's happened is when God's lead priest, when God's lead pastors, when God's leaders of itinerant ministries, when their desire is actually to draw people to orbit around them,
yeah.
it becomes whorish. Yeah. It becomes sick and disgusting. Think about Simon Peter. Simon loved the Lord. I mean, yeah, he was a train wreck like we are too. But Simon's trajectory in his method the rest of his life after the ascension was to lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life. There's such a judgment right now from the Father on his leaders inside the ecclesia mm-hmm. that are operating in an opposite model than what Jesus did. I want to ask you a question on this. I'm curious what you're going to say about this. Let's go back to the Reformation 1500s, German explosion. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's the first class I ever took in seminary. It shifted culture for non-Christians. I mean, the Protestant Reformation was a big deal. But as I was writing this book, I kept asking the question, has the model of the church really changed? I know theology did. And how thankful are we even for broken Luther? I mean, he said some things towards the end. I'm like, goodness gracious, he's lost his mind. Thank God we have a revelation on grace. I thank the reformers of that.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure the model of the church has changed from what it was in the Catholic system. You had priests that were controlling people. It was all about money, control. If you pull up the hood of the vehicle of the church, the model doesn't look too much different than it did in Germany.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we have to look, when we look at Jesus, Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. He was in community with the Father and Holy Spirit before he came and was incarnated in human form. And so when I look at his life, I look at what heaven believes is the way. And so when I look at that, I have to look at what we do and what he did, and they don't match. You know, and so my whole ministry life has been, how do I follow Jesus in the way that he lives and do what he did? And how do I be a leader in a church that looks like that? And at the moment, I think there's a clash of cultures. And I honestly believe that your book is starting a really important conversation about, we can't just say that we believe in Jesus. We actually need to follow him and live the way that Jesus lived.
Let's talk about clash of cultures, and we'll close here. Practically, as I look at you, you're an employee on payroll at Garden Greenville.
Yeah.
As I lead you here, okay, you're getting a paycheck. So let's look at how I could utilize your gifts in the attractional model versus unleashing you in a biblical missional model. Your speaking skills are good enough to be on any stage. Writing skills, any stage. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
If I wanted to cooperate with the attractional model, here's what I would do. I would put you and Wendy on stage and Michael Thornton on stage so much. I would put Andy in the front of the room doing so much speaking on even the how-to of all this stuff. But here's what I've noticed that you've brought to the table here. There's two people that pop out of my mind as I just evaluate you as a leader here. Jessica Satterfield and Caleb Stone, your son.
Yeah.
Okay. In the attractional model, here's what success. Oh my gosh. Anwen has grown the Garden Greenville, doubled the size. There's a women's ministry that's in huge. She's speaking on Sunday mornings and she just wrote her third book. I don't think it's evil.
Mm.
I don't. It's not. What's happened is, though, the Father has harnessed you here, put you in the dirt and the soil. Your firstborn child is emerging as a high-level leader in this church. Jessica Satterfield is turning into a high-level leader through being discipled by you.
Yeah.
You are someone, and Andy is someone, that you don't just talk about moving away from the attraction model. You actually model missional living. Give me one or two. If I'm a leader, let's say I'm a Baptist pastor, whatever, Presbyterian pastor, whatever, and I am so sick of an attractional model, and I am feeling led by the Father to step out into a missional model.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I got to have a target to hit.
Yeah.
At some point, you can't just keep whiteboarding stuff. What are a couple of really practical steps that a leader can take to move from that attractional model into a missional biblical model?
I think the first thing you have to do is recognize that the attractional model has built up your own identity and repent of that.
Yeah.
And if someone's already recognizing that, then you need to pray just as Jesus did and ask him to show you who are the one or two people of peace in your life that he's asking you to start investing and giving away the things the Father's shown you about who he is, what he's taught you, and actually make a rhythm in your life where that person has access, not to the professional part of you, but to all of you. Where Jessica is someone I've been discipling for 3 years, and she knows what my family looks like. She's been around my dinner table plenty of times. She's been in my laundry room. I've been at her house in the worst moments of her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what Jesus did. It was a life-on-life relationship. I can't do that with everyone at the Garden Greenville.
Have you ever made any social media post about your discipling of Jessica Satterfield?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You know what I think that leaders got to be very careful of?
Mm-hmm.
I can take a bunch of bricks right now and build a house, or I can take a bunch of bricks and try to kill you with them. Bricks are amoral.
Yeah.
Money's amoral.
Yeah.
Social media is amoral. But you know me, I'm going to write a book one day called But. There's so many buts in the Bible. But you know what I notice?
Mm.
Evidence of being drawn towards an attractional model as a leader. Why are you leaning so heavily on social media to promote what, quote unquote, God is calling you to do?
Mm.
Because here's the deal. Jesus discipled three people and changed the world.
Yeah.
I tell you what, we'll close here. A attractional model is a lot less costly than a missional model. Missional model being life on life is messy and difficult.
Yep.
There's not a lot of fame to it. There's no stage. But maybe out there, happy campers, maybe God's crushing that Constantine stage. All right, I got a book we want to send you to. It's called God is Shaking His Temple, The Fear of the Lord's Returning to the Church. This can help start the conversation about how to transition your life from an attractional model to a missional model. And you can buy that book on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is there anywhere else you can get it? I don't know how it works. I guess you can go to, are there any Christian bookstores in person anymore? Well, everything's digital.
There's
online.
There's not loads in Greenville. I know that.
You can go online, get that on Amazon. You can pretty much buy a house on Amazon now.
You can.
Do you know, I feel like I'm missing.
It's incredible.
After the Christmas season, I feel like I'm missing a family friend. The Amazon guy didn't come anymore. There was one day I'm like, okay, buddy, we're about to have a dinner together. Is this sovereign? Go to Amazon, buy it, start the conversation. If the day didn't provoke you, well, maybe you're already good. You're in a missional model. If it did provoke you, that's a good thing. God likes to provoke us when he's looking to mature us.
He does.
God's judging the temple. People say there's no such thing as New Testament judgment. Oh, yes, there is. Keep not reading the New Testament and you'll feel safe. Read it and go with God. God bless. Hope this helped you. Spread the word. Spread Coach and Joe on your social media platforms. Speaking of social media, we're just here to help leaders grow from an attractional model into really a missional model. And that really excites us. And I think a lot of the world is having this conversation.
Yeah.
And when, last thing I'll say, in China, the church has exploded the last 50 years. In Iran, it's exploding. In Afghanistan, it's exploding. No buildings, no systems of power and control.
And lots of persecution.
Lots.
Yep.
And lots of women in leadership.
Yes.
Ooh, don't say that in the South. God bless. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks for joining us on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast. Don't miss the Coach and Joe talk show on YouTube and coachandjoe.com for epic merch, blogs, and ways to help keep us up and running. We'll see you next time on the Coach and Joe Leadership Podcast.